That's great. All right, open your Bibles with me to 3 John. I thought it would be good to have the Lord's Supper this evening, but in order to get that done, we were just going to have to kind of throw it together, and I didn't want to do that. I think we ought to, I'd like to do a better job myself with the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to plan one in the coming weeks that will be a little bit better, put a little more into it than we have in the past. I think it's important. So, to avoid doing that, I had started last week on 3 John. And not very many people had heard a sermon on 3 John. I think there were about 3 hands. So now you can say that you have because you heard last week's. But actually, I was just getting started last week. I was going to do the whole book. It's just a few verses. And these little small books in the Bible kind of get left out sometimes. But they're important. I had the Ogdens come down. I could blame it on them because they came and shared their testimony. Used up all my time. No, I'm just kidding. But they shared their testimony last week. I hope you don't mind me sharing the other part. Found out the rent's not going to, they're not going to keep renting the house. They're going to sell it. So they could move somewhere here or eventually they were going to move back toward Tyler with family, that kind of thing. And so they're going to be probably pretty soon moving to Tyler. So I hate that. I hate that because, we're just now getting started loving on them. All right. Well, normally I'd have you move all over here and move up to the front, but I see some looks on people's faces today that says, I'm tired from an Easter egg hunt. I'm tired. One guy's head is really shining red over there, so I'm just going to leave him alone. Okay. All right. Well, open your Bibles then to 3 John, and we're gonna kind of review what we did last time, and then keep going. So 3 John, beginning verse 1, we're going to be talking about, churches have a lot of times people come through, and people come through, and there'll be missionaries, they'll be going to the field somewhere, maybe they're going down to Mexico because they're trying to translate the Bible into some other language. Maybe they're going over to the Philippines to do a 10-day or however long it was a missions trip, like the Quisenberries just got back from. Maybe we've got some national missionaries that are trying to go on the field. And I know there are some people that think about these things in different ways. There are some people that go, all those people want money. They're just going to have another offering. Every time we have people through, they have another offering. And I had one guy tell me one time, y'all just have too many offerings. I can't afford to give all the offerings. I said, brothers, those are love offerings, free will offerings. That means you don't have to give if you don't want to. He said, well, yeah, everybody's going to see me pass the plate by not putting anything in. I'm going to look like a jerk. I want to say, well, but I didn't. I withheld. But anyway, sometimes you can get too many offerings occasionally. But you know what? I may have told you this before. I hope not. But one time a missionary called me, and I was at a church in Oklahoma, and he said, I'd like to come through and share my vision with you. And I said, brother, I would like for you to. We're supporting about as many missionaries as we can right now, and it might be more profitable for you to go somewhere else because, you can come preach and we'll give you a love offering, but we're probably not going to be able to support you any. Well, years later, his daughter married my son, and he reminded me of that occasion, and I said, I'm not ever going to do that again. I'm just going to say, come on, brother, come on. And so, I think this little book is talking about that kind of thing. Because, as I said last time, I think John was kind of running missionaries in these journeys, training up guys and sending them out. And some of them would come through and they would come by this church on their way to somewhere else in maybe Asia Minor or wherever. And they would stop by this church that had already been planted, already been established. and say, can we come over and share our vision? And maybe you guys want to pray for us. Maybe you want to help give, just like they do now. I think that's probably what might have been going on. I don't know. So it was something like that. So that's the context. And I think we need to help those, especially those that are already associated with our work. We need to help people who God brings across our path sovereignly and puts there. And they're involved in the same ministry of the truth that we are. We need to help those people in some way or another. So we need to dive into the ministry of the truth. Last week we talked about walking in truth. Let's take a look real quickly, verses 1 through 4. It says, the elder, that is John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So it's someone that knew John as the elder. They were very familiar with him. And Gaius, maybe the pastor of this congregation, or a leader at least. And he's very loved. That is, he's probably, I think, a son in the ministry. Probably John won him to the Lord. I don't know that, but he's very well respected. He said, I love you in the Lord. And that was probably a little easier for them to say back then. It's hard for guys to say, I love you. I first started doing that with my dad. I don't remember growing up my dad saying, I love you very often. I'm not sure, maybe twice. That generation didn't do that very much, you know. And I remember moving to college and crying like a baby all the way there. And that's a 7-hour trip. That was a long way. So anyway, we were a long way from home, and I call my dad and I say, "Well, we love you." It was hard at first, you know, saying I love you. And then I got to think about through the years, people in church, I love them too. I'm just going to tell them I love them. There are some people that say I love you to everyone. They don't even really mean what they're saying. But I want to say, when I love you, I want to really love you. And I want to tell you that. Well, it's hard. But these days, you know, some guys hug each other. And every once in a while I say, I love you. I love you, man. You got to add the man in there. Because if you just say I love you, it sounds a little weird. So say, I love you, man. That's cool, okay? Now, let's don't do that kiss on the cheek thing. We'll leave that for the Europeans. Okay, I need to get back on track here. I'm just going to review this, right? The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things, you'll remember this, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So he's saying, here's a guy who is really growing in the spirit, in his soul. He's growing. He's healthy. He may have been physically less healthy, but in the spirit, he's very healthy. And he said, I'm going to pray that you grow in your wealth and in your health as much as you do in your spirit. And he's saying there, you're a man of great spirit. And I hope the rest of it comes along. And I asked this question last time, how healthy would you be if someone said, if God said, okay, your health and your wealth are is going to be as strong as your spiritual health? How healthy would you be? Would they have to put you on the respirator, keep you going, or would you be strong? So, that's kind of what he's saying here. Evidently, this was a very healthy spiritual person and strong in the truth. For he says in verse 3, for I rejoice greatly. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified, what? Of the truth that is in thee. Okay? The truth that is in thee. And then he says, even as thou walkest in the truth. Look, he's walking in the truth. By the way, the truth here, I'm thinking, is the truth about Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, truth means something that is unconcealed. Or something that you know about. It's the truth. And the truth, I think, is talking about the gospel ministry, the truth of the Word of God, the teachings of Scripture, that kind of thing. And so, here's a guy who is walking in the truth because the truth is in Him. See, before you can really walk in the truth has to be in you. If you're trying to walk in the truth, but the truth isn't in you, you're just faking it. There's a lot of people who come to church and they try to do this. I don't know why they would try to do this, because it wear you out. If you're trying to be somebody you're not, you're just wearing yourself out. In the end, you're going to find yourself empty and frustrated. Because you're doing it, we do those kind of things so that people will respect us, so that people will think as much of me as he does this other guy over here. And so we try to be this certain kind of person so people will lift us up. But it doesn't work. Pretending might work for a season, but then it falls apart. Because it doesn't take people very long to be around you to figure out what you're really like. You know, you can fool them for a little while, but not long. So, the truth, and he said, here's a guy, the truth is in him. Gaius, the truth is in you. You walk in the truth because the truth is in you. The truth has you, and so you walk in the truth. And he said, remember this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so it's a pastor's joy to see that his church members are living out those things that they preach. Sometimes people will say something like this, and it just thrills me. I was in this situation, and it was a situation where I was being tempted to sin or whatever, and then they'll go, but I remembered what Brother David said. And I just went, I wonder what it was I said. And then they'll say it, and I go, I don't even remember saying that. That must have been some other preacher on the radio or something. But anyway, it thrills my soul when somebody actually takes something that I've been saying and preaching, or maybe setting an example in, and they live it out in their lives. That's a thrill. And we applied that also last week, just quickly, to parents. It should give us no greater joy as parents than to see that our children are beginning to live out the faith that we shared with them and exemplified before them. Okay, so we need to walk in truth. There's a second thing I want to talk about. That is, we need to aid and support missionaries or ministers who bear the truth, who carry the truth. Let's look at this. It says, beloved, again, he said the second time he's addressed him as beloved, actually the third. He said, well, beloved. And so in verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. What he's saying is, you're doing a good job, and whatever you do is going to be good that you do for the brethren and strangers. He's talking about people that came by their church, people like we were talking about, missionaries who came through, that kind of thing. Some of them he knew, some of them he didn't know. And he said, whatever you do, have you ever tried to ask somebody, you know, how do y'all do this? Do we give you a love offering? Whatever. And they'll go, whatever you do, whatever you want to do, whatever the Lord leads you, it'll be a blessing. If it's just to pray for us, it'll be a blessing. Now, I used to think that was just a snow job. Honestly, the younger I was, the more I was in the flesh, and I thought, that's a snow job. They just want money. They just want our support financially. And I got to know some of these guys, and they said, no, I don't want to go in the mission field without people at home praying for us. And so, whatever you do, you do well. And he's talking about these brethren and strangers in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity, thy love, agape, love, before the church. So these guys came through your church. You helped them. You treated them so good that they came back home and said, you will not believe how good Gaius treated us. We felt awesome when we were there. And he says this, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou doest well. When he says of a godly sort, if you help them on their journey in a godly sort, I looked that up, and it means something like this, after a manner appropriate of God. Okay, after manner appropriate of God. And I just try to discern that. I think the Lord is saying here that He treated them as if they were God. And you think of what the verse says. It says, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my little ones, you have done it to me." And what are we doing when we take a missionary who he and his wife and his little babies, and they're trying to get together, and they've sold their house. They're getting rid of stuff so they can move to wherever they're going to go. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know if it's going to work, if it's going to flop. They're just trusting the Lord. And God has put us in a position to help them. You know what? We ought to do it. We ought to help them. And we ought not to just say, "Oh, all right, we'll take a love offering." We ought to desire that when these people leave, they will talk about how we loved them and cared for them. That needs to be who we are. Because if we're treating people like this, it's because that's who we are. We love the brethren. And that's how the world will know that we love Jesus. So he goes on to say in verse 7, "Because that for his name's sake," that is Jesus' name's sake, "they went forth, taking nothing from the Gentiles." The word means nation, ethnos, people of all races, and just all the different people that they're trying to reach with the gospel. They didn't try to get money from them to help support them. They were getting those who already believed to help them reach the nations. And so they didn't take money from them. In verse 8, "We therefore ought," the term means owe it, "we owe it," not to them, but to the Lord, I would say, "to receive such," or that is to support such, "that we might be fellow helpers of the truth." Fellow helpers means fellow workers, workers together, joint workers. What is he saying? He's saying, you know what? When you do, when you help somebody who needs help, whether it's a missionary or somebody that really needs help, and you're helping them maybe take the gospel somewhere, you're helping them do a ministry to someone, you are joining in on that ministry. You are a participant in that ministry. You will be rewarded or not rewarded in heaven based on how you participated in the work of the Lord in that situation that God brought across your path. That's we ought to give things a little more thought. You know what? As a preacher, sometimes if somebody calls me and wants to come through, "Oh man, our calendar is full. I don't know. I got this series going. I'll have to cut it off there and let you come in and take my spot," and all that stuff. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit. Really, I go, "Yeah, I get the day off." Not really. Well, maybe sort of. But rather we should take it more seriously. So this is serious business. These people need support. If we're not going to help them, well, maybe we should let them go somewhere where they can help them. I did find out later that as missionaries come through, sometimes you take a love offering. And by the way, that love offering is often more than they get from some churches that just support by the month. By the way, if you support a missionary $50 a month, how much is it? It's $600 a year, right? $600 a year. You take up a love offering, $1,100. You did a lot better. Just taking up a love offering may be better. Maybe we should have done both. All right. Wouldn't hurt us to skip lunch one or two Sundays, would it? All right. I'm meddling now. So let's move on. Not only should we support those missionaries, but thirdly, finally, we should follow people whose life bears witness of the truth. Look at this guy. Verse 9. "I wrote into the church, but Diotrephes," it's a bad guy in this situation, "who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." He wouldn't let us come. He said, "No, I don't want you to come. Wherefore," he says, "if I come, I will remember his deeds which he did. I'm going to tell him about it. And he says, and by the way, John had an apostolic office. It doesn't exist today like it did then. There are none of those guys left anymore. He had some authority to say, brethren, this is how you need to do it. Straighten up your act. And so that's what he's talking about. And so he says, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does. And he describes what he did. He's prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. Let me stop there. He's prating. It just means saying stupid things. He's saying stupid things against us. Why? Because he doesn't want us to come, and he doesn't want to give us any money, because if he gives us any money, it might take away from what we're doing for him. Or it might be that he's trying to protect the church, and he's going, you know, let me put it in today's terms. I don't know what they needed. Maybe we need curtains. Maybe we need to paint the baptistry. Maybe we need a new carpet. Well, we'll never get that stuff, and we're just giving it away to missionaries all the time. You see, church can become introverted. That's when it begins to die. And God says, all right, if you want to take care of yourself, I'll let you. You can't do it. We need Him. And by the way, the churches that seem to be blessed financially, you mark it down. I'll bet you 90% of the time, I'm making that figure up completely out of the blue, but I believe most of the time, you look at those churches, and there'll be churches that give heavily to missions. Look at it. If God is blessing them financially and in other ways, they're givers to missions. If they're hurting financially, you look at it. They probably stopped giving to missions a long, long time ago, or cut it down to a bare minimum. So, follow those who bear witness. Now, what else did he do? Prating against us with malicious words. When you don't want to do something, you start saying stuff to get people on your side. You start just saying, oh, here's why he did that. Let me tell you why he did this, because, you know, and then they start saying what they think. Why do people do that? Why do people put down other people to make them look better? I just answered the question, didn't I? They put other people down to make them look better. Why else do they do that? Well, they want to get their way, don't they? They want to get their way, so they begin to make other people look like they don't know what they're doing, or they're doing a lousy job, or things aren't going the way they're supposed to, because they're not getting things the way they want them. So that's what's going on here. Not only that, but it says, not content with that, neither does he himself receive the brethren. So, he talks about the brethren. He says bad things about them. He won't let them come to their church. And it says, forbidding people who would. So if somebody else wanted to help these people, these missionaries along their way, he won't even let them. As a matter of fact, he says, he casts them out of the church if they do that. Now, this is a pastor who is a control freak. He has to be the boss. He has to be in charge. He has to, whatever I say is the way it ought to be. You know, there needs to be a balance there, doesn't there? There's some churches where the pastor, he doesn't have any say at all. He's got this board over him, and they tell him what to do. They make the decisions. He doesn't make a decision. He can suggest something. And then there are other pastors who say, if it's not my way, I'm going to make it my way. And they'll tear the church up. And so, there are people like this that do these things to get their way. By the way, A.T. Robertson, the great Greek scholar, wrote an article about this Diotrephes and put it in the Southern Baptist paper. And 25 deacons, this is true, 25 deacons canceled their subscription because they had blasted them in the newspaper. Of course, he didn't use anyone's name. He just talked about Diotrephes. So, I guess the shoe fits sometimes, and people wear it even if they shouldn't have. So going on, he says, now, beloved, here's the deal. Verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. You know what I think here? I think Gaius was tempted to follow this guy Diotrephes. I think Diotrephes was probably a very charismatic character. I think he was probably a strong leader. You take a young leader that's trying to get going, and you take another leader that's a strong leader, charismatic leader, people are following, people are doing what he says, and a young leader is attracted to that. And he says, I want to be like him. Look, he's got everything going. And Paul says, listen to this. Don't do it. He says, don't follow that which is evil, but that which is good. Why? Because he that does good is of God. He that continuously, as a regular lifestyle practice, does good things, that person's of God. The one who does evil things, even though they look charismatic and they say great things and they preach great sermons, don't believe it. Look at what they do and how they live their lives. And if they live their lives in an evil way, and that's the consistency of their practice, they are evil. Run, run, run. So, stay away from them. And then he gives another example, a positive example. Verse 12, Demetrius hath a good report of all men. This is probably, by the way, the guy carrying the letter. The guy who brought the letter so that he could read it. So, anyway, Demetrius has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. So he's bearing witness of the truth. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know. It's in the perfect tense. So you have always known that our record is true. So, he says, here's a guy who lives the truth. The truth is in him, and he walks in the truth. We bear record of it. Everyone else bears record that knows him. Here's a guy you ought to be following right here. Take this guy and look at him. Let me ask you this. When a mom is raising her little boys, maybe she doesn't have a good father figure to rear up those boys or to point them to. And she goes to church and she says, son, I want you to look at someone in the church and keep your eye on them because I want you to pattern your life after them. Are you the kind of man? Ladies, if it's a young lady that a mom or dad could point to and say, you keep your eye on that lady. That's the kind of lady you need to be. Could that be said of you or of me? He concludes his letter. You know, I have a lot of stuff to write to you, but I don't want to write it in ink and pen. Verse 14, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Here was a pastor. John had a pastor's heart, didn't he? He loved the Lord. He loved people. Remember 1 John? He said, love one another. This fulfills the whole law, that you love one another. Little children, he said, love one another. That's what we need to do. Care about others. Love others. Lift themselves above us. Lift them above us and follow those who follow the truth. So, I think the summary of the whole thing is we need to follow people who follow Jesus, and we need to support people who are following Jesus Christ. As a church, we ought to be known as the church that loves missionaries. Amen. Amen. So, that starts with each one of us. Are you a person, a man or a woman, that loves missionaries and loves ministry? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to have the right kind of heart in this. Lord, we have two examples here, and one is a terrible one. One is a person who needs to be in charge. One is a person who needs to be in control. He's a manipulator. He wants to get his way. He really doesn't care about other people. He just wants what He wants. And He'll run over everybody He can to get there. The other is a person who loves the Lord. He loves missions. He loves the truth. And the challenge to Gaius is the challenge to us. Let's be like that second person. Let's be the person who consistently walks in the truth. Let's be the person who the truth dwells in us. And let that be reflected not just in our words that we say, but in the life that we live. And Father, as we do that as individuals, let South Park become a church where people say, "What a wonderful church. Those people loved me and cared for me." Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be a part of a church that wants to be just like that. I pray it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. The Lord is risen. I said, the Lord is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Hey, brother. Love you, brother.
Amen. I love you, man.
I love you, too. I love you, too, man.
Yeah, we were having a
Oh.